We are blessed with some newly married couples. Michael is Irish, and he is very tall. And Laura is from California, and she's very short. And they were married in March 2 years ago. And David, after they got married, in California, and then they came back to Ireland and had another reenactment of their wedding. Although, actually, it wasn't just a reenactment. It was actually a legal process because the solemnizer for the government of Ireland had to be there to officiate the wedding. And then David actually did the church ceremony of the wedding. And so we had the pleasure of having them get married in Ireland. So they're in the assembly as well. And then this is a couple that we had been counseling, doing marriage counseling. It was very, tense at times. She is actually, this is Tommy and Brittany. Tommy is Irish and Brittany is American. She's from California as well. And she was working with the Calvary Church. And she didn't want to leave the Calvary Church. And he didn't want to go to the Calvary Church. He wanted to stay in the assembly. So it was touch and go there for a long time, you know, during the counseling sessions. But anyway, Tommy is a real, he is a real joy. And he is a real testimony of what the Lord can do in someone's life. He is saved he had a drug and alcohol background and had spent time in prison. And the Lord has really done a marvelous work in his life. If we had meetings every night of the week, he would be there. He just loves the Lord. And so they were married in September of last year. And we still continue to do the Monday night counseling with them. Just mostly it's, you know, over a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, but we meet in the pub. That's where you meet. So we meet in the pub and we have our time and we just enjoy their company. They're just looking forward to, you know, just seeing what the Lord is going to do in their lives together. So we're really blessed with them. This is the scripture calendar that we've been doing since 2006. We currently produce about 50,000 calendars that are used by assemblies around the country. In Waterford, we distribute 12,000 copies free of charge to homes across the city. The 50,000 calendars, now, they go to 22 different churches, and they are distributed all over the country. And David designs the calendar and does all the artwork and everything, chooses the verses and everything. So, and in the calendar, there's a gospel message in the inside front cover and back cover. And then on the back of the magazine, there is an offer for free literature. And there is a Bible there. That's a New Testament. There, the Hope book is New Testament. But then there's free literature as well, upon request. And there's the handsome letterboxer right there, doing his thing. This is a team that the guy in the gray sweatshirt, he organized to do distribution for the calendar. And this is an older team. I would say they're more mature, but they're not acting too mature. Anyway. They're a real blessing. But Derek, who is the guy in the gray sweatshirt, he organizes teams to come down. This is a younger team that came, and we enjoy having hospitality with teams and also church members as well. And we would have a time of pizza and Chinese, I think, is what they have there. But this team only came for a weekend, but they would get out 4 or 5,000 magazine or 4 or 5,000 calendars. So that really gives us a good push on the distribution for the calendars because we only have 2 months to do that, November and December, and we make sure that we get it out I'm determined to get it out before Christmas because I don't want to be spending my Christmas holiday with doing the calendars. So anyway, we have a great time of fellowship with them. This is Postal Bible School. I mark lessons for students with the Postal Bible School. It's a program that is run through the schools. Some of the schools use it as their religious education. And David also marks lessons. He marks for more mature students who are out of school. But I do lessons for a school up in Sligo. And the Postal Bible School would have a camp for 1 week in July. And there's availability for 85 students to come to the camp, and there would be 20 leaders as well. David is one of the leaders there. I used to help with the kitchen work, but it just got to be just too much for me. So anyway, so during the week of the Postal Bible School, they would have times of games. They would go off the site for mini golf and bowling, and they would have a beach day, and they would hike up Sugarloaf Mountain, have the kids run off some steam, and then on the last night they would have a big bonfire and a time of testimonies shared, and just a good time ended for the week of the camp. The step weekends, this grew out of the camp for older college and career students. And I have to... STEP stands for Sharing Truth, Encouraging Practice. And so these are college and career kids that are meeting on a weekend three to four times a year. David is in the leadership of that. And it's a intense Bible studies for these older students. The Plowing Championship is held in September. It's the third week in September for 3 days. We would be involved in this. All of the items in the exhibit are free. There's 170,000 exhibitors. There were 280,000 visitors over the 3 days, and there were 18,500 John 3 bags that were distributed. This is just how busy how crowded it is when it gets. It's all in this farm area, and it's over acres and acres of land, and this has been going on for quite a few. I'm trying to think. I think it actually started in the 30s that they started this plowing championship. But every year it's going on. This is the John 3:16 bag. It would have some free things. It would have the gospel in it, and it would have a pen or pencil, and then also a reply card, a response card, if anybody wanted to get a free Bible course or any free literature, they would be able to send that in and get that. But all the John 3:16 bags are useful for a lot of the exhibits. Would be handing out a lot of free product, and so, you know, this is just a way of them carrying around, but also getting the gospel. Also at the exhibit, there would be someone there giving the sketchboard gospel message there. As people are walking by, they would be able to see the gospel presented. And to the very left there, that's Garnet Cooney handing out the John 3:16 bags. So, pray for Waterford as I close. Please pray for Waterford. Pray for us in our ministry, that God will strengthen us and in our walk and in our service for him. And pray for those we come in contact with who are lost and need the Savior. And pray for the believers at Waterford Christian Assembly to grow in their relationship with Christ. Thank you very much, and God bless each one of you. And I see that I have 10 minutes, but do you want me to just, I don't know if anybody has any questions that they would like to ask me quickly. Pardon? Step stands for, I have to look it up, sharing truth, encouraging practice. Yeah. Yes? There with the assembly. Tommy put his foot down. Yeah. Yeah. The water for crystal they made the crystal. The factory did close in 2009. And but they did build a new visitor center in town in 2010. And most of the crystal is now made over in Poland. Hence, water for crystal. You know, it's like, why they? But anyway, it's it is coming back. They still do the tours through the new building, and they do have the factory end of things still there in the town. They would do high end pieces like trophies and custom request things, but they are still using it. The old factory is closed and it's derelict now. So, the economy is dependent on technology. We have a lot of technology companies, Facebook and Microsoft, and you know they're using that as their European base. Ireland is dependent on tourism. And they're dependent on agriculture as well. And technology and pharmaceutical companies are in Ireland as well. That would be their European base. So, because the taxes in Ireland are cheaper than the mainland, so. So, any other questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it would be in the city center, and inside each track we would have given, I left this out, we would have had an invitation to the gospel meeting and where our building is located and the time and everything. But at least they would be giving, they would be getting the gospel because they're getting a tract, and so we... Does that answer your question? Yeah. No. Well, our building right now is closer to city center, but it isn't in the city center. It is in a development area. It used to be an old jute factory, and actually the place that the building is has been used for different uses. And before we acquired the building, it was being used as a school. So, yes?
Since you've been in Ireland, how has your relationship with God changed?
Well, yeah, I would say that I am closer to the Lord. We consider this home in Ireland, and I am closer to the Lord, I would say. Yeah. Is that how you mean? Well, I hadn't been involved with handing out tracts or talking about my faith to total strangers before, And that has been a real challenge for me. And I actually enjoy handing out tracts. And I see that the Lord is challenging me, and he's challenging those who I come in contact with. And he has changed me that way, yes. And yes, yeah. Okay, my time is up, so thank you for listening about Ireland, and appreciate your time.
Let's pray for Beth. Lord, we do thank you that you led Beth and David to go to Ireland, first to Kilkenny, and certainly it was difficult for them when the Atwoods left just 6 weeks after they got there, or 6 months. And Lord, we thank you that they continued on, that they didn't decide to come home, and that they've kept on and gone on to Waterford. Thank you for the people in Kilkenny that have continued to help them and to encourage them. And we just pray for this assembly in Kilkenny. But we want to think of Waterford as well. And thank you for this number that have grown. And we thank you for their witness. Thank you for the different things that they have accomplished. Lord, we pray for these different contests or festivals that they have, the Harvest and the Walls Festival. We think of all those artists that come and set up their art, and just they may have opportunities to speak to them. And Lord, we pray for the Street Art Festival as well. Lord, these are young people probably, and people that may not really be too interested in religion, but because Beth and David and the others are there, they may have an opportunity, a moment when they really see you and see that you can, what you can do in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the teams that come and the different activities. Thank you for the Bible, Postal Bible School that Beth works with to correct courses, and the camps that they have afterwards during the summer. Lord, we thank you for the ways you open up, the creativity that they are using in reaching people for you. Lord, we pray for the young couples, particularly for Thomas and Brittany. Lord, that you would solidify these marriages and make them homes that are living and walking with you daily before the Irish people. Lord, we thank you for the different nationalities that have come into the group, that although they'd love to see Irish people, that you've also drawn other people from different lands that are out of their culture and so are perhaps more open to your word. Lord, we don't know how you lead in many cases, but you do open hearts for yourself. Lord, we want to finish by just praying for Sarah and Rachel. Thank you for these girls. And we just pray for Sarah that she would come back to you. Thank you for Beth, and just bless her and continue to guide her. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me, I've known Beth since she was a toddler, so. And the girls since just about the same. As we have seen, David and Beth have been seeking to teach the people of Waterford, Ireland, by using two wonderful tools, the For You magazine, which Beth has told me is very Irish, I'm sure they talk about jumpers in there when they talk about sweaters. And unfortunately, the magazine has closed down, and so they can't use it anymore except for the ones that are left over. And so our project is to part of the project is to help them have the financial means of finding another source, another possibility of reaching the people. Might be more tracks. It might be another magazine. They may be called to start up a magazine. Who knows? Since David is doing the calendar. The calendar is the second tool that they've been using. And if you, there's only two copies of each of these back on the table. I stole two of them. But if you look in some of the months, it's David who has done the photography as well. But as they mentioned, each month has a verse on it, so it's given out once a year, but it keeps on giving a message. It's a product that keeps on giving every single day of the year. And we just want to help them in producing this for 2019, and depending on the funds, maybe beyond. But anyway, to help them distribute this, remember they give out about 12,000 in their area, but it also goes to other areas of Ireland. So they're not only reaching their own area, but also all of Ireland with these. And the third part of the project is the sign that we saw. We'd like to pay for that. It's not perhaps the most extravagant sign, but we want to have our part in paying, in giving that to them. And it's their ultimate goal is to see people saved and added to their assembly. The appearance of the assembly building can discourage visitors, or it can encourage them. The scripture text on the wall behind the pulpit will be, we hope, an encouragement to people. The verse that they have chosen, Jesus Christ, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. It's a powerful message, and it will stay with all those who read it, either saved or unsaved. By giving today, we can better equip Beth and David to reach the hearts of Waterford.
All right, so we're going to do our offering now. You should have two envelopes given to you in your programs. One was marked as an offering for the speakers, as well as commended workers that are visiting with us today, and we'll introduce them in just a moment. And then the other envelope is for the special project that Peg just talked about. Not to embarrass them, but we know that there are a few full-time workers, either former missionaries or full-time workers in the United States. If you don't mind standing and introducing yourselves so that we know who you are, I think there's at least six or seven of you, so get on up. So I don't know if you guys want to, Holly, let's start with you. You can introduce yourself. Holly Bear over there, and then here. And then the other three are speakers, so you either already heard them or will hear them. Mary's over there, but you'll get her in a moment. So I'm going to invite our praise team to come on up, and they're going to lead us in two more songs. And while we're singing the songs, the ushers will come around and just get the collection.
Now, here's the dilemma. I'd love to ask you to stand while we're singing these songs, especially since you've been sitting now for a little while. If you think you can, pass the thing, put your envelopes in there, and sing at the same time. Join us in standing. I think we can do it. We're women. We can multitask. So, but if you can't, just stay where you're at. That's fine, too. Are you ready? Oh, that's right. That's right.
I meet with you and my soul sings out as your word throws out far away. I sing to you and my heart cries holy, Alleluia, Father, you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing. My hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you when my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you when my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here. My hope is understanding is my song, and I sing. My hope is in you, Lord. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. I will wait on you. You are my grace to try.
Have Mary Parsons come and share about her time in South Africa.
Good morning, ladies. I've spoken at many, many conferences, but I think maybe this is one of the most special because it's been wonderful being here at home. Here at Fifth Avenue Chapel, and Todd, I'm echoing a little bit here, so I don't want to do that. And to be with Beth and Melinda today is just has been an excellent joy for me, and I'm thrilled for the opportunity to share a little bit of our trip to Africa last fall, and we are exactly on time, so hopefully we end up on time, and it won't be my fault that we didn't. I just want to just spend a couple of minutes just thinking on the theme of learning to lean. A few weeks, well, months ago now, we were having our devotions at our ladies group, and we had this devotion on learning to lean in that well-loved Bible verse, trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and not to lean on our own understanding. And I thought, as the different ladies shared different things, it started to emerge that this would be a wonderful theme for our conference. I remember saying at the time, and I seemed to get good agreement from everybody that was there, we never fully learn to lean. There's always more to learn and more at whatever age we may be. Learning to lean is one of those things that is a lifelong project. I've often told younger moms that when I was young, I felt like I was really in charge of my family. They were right there. I was able to instruct and guide and make sure that they came and went and did what Phil and I thought was best for them. When they graduated from high school and they went off to college and I was in the Philippines 10,000 miles away, I realized something that I'd probably really known all along. I wasn't in charge. And those early empty nester days were really hard as I learned how to pray for our children, knowing that they were on their own now and making many decisions. In all the seasons of our lives, whether it be in raising children, working at a job, our health, myriads of other situations, so how we have to learn to lean. This past winter, I've had some health issues, and although not life-threatening, they've really cramped my style. I haven't been able to keep up with my usual normal pace. When we started thinking about this theme, and the Lord and I had several talks, He knows how much I like to keep busy, but He also knew that perhaps I needed some rest and some quiet and some time to think more about Him. It never ceases to amaze me how many times He encourages me from His Word. It might be a verse in a devotional. It might be a hymn that we sang on Sunday. It might be something that just comes into my mind that reminds him of his love, reminds me of his loving kindness. This didn't just happen once in a while. It happened almost every day. This didn't. It made me realize that had I been going about my usual pace, I might have missed the blessing of realizing day to day his loving encouragement. We've all been in situations where we have had to learn to lean on another person. When we're young, we learn from our mothers. We leaned on them for guidance and help. In our young adult years, perhaps a friend or a teacher or a spouse would be the one we'd turn to for answers. But the older I get, and as wonderful as some of those personal relationships have been, nothing compares to the comfort and peace that comes from leaning on our Savior. What is your struggle today? We all have difficulties. We all have decisions to make. As I mentioned, learning is a lifelong process. When we worked at Faith Academy in the Philippines, the educators would talk about our students as lifelong learners. And that is so true. We never finish that task. But how much more is learning to have that inward relationship with the Lord, where we can sit at his feet, listen to his still small voice in the quietness of our day. Like me, maybe your days are not very quiet, and so we don't listen very well. I'm working on this, and I'm only 69, so maybe I have a few more years to perfect that skill. I lost my place. It's so important to come to the Lord with every detail of our lives. And while there in his presence, we can listen, we can learn. So as you go home today, learning to lean on Jesus, remember, you're never too old to learn. So we're going to head off to Africa. But before we do, I have to tell you one little testimony of my own. Something that was amazing as we went from country to country and mission station to mission station. When I was young, I decided when I grew up, I was going to be a missionary nurse in Africa. I never really thought about anything else. So when I graduated from high school, I went off to nursing school. When I finished my training to be an RN, I went off to Bible school because I needed to know the Word of God and be ready for my job as a missionary nurse in Africa. As I was finishing up all of that, I met Phil. And he was a teacher and had no plans to go to Africa. But when I started to realize that I was well prepared and the Lord could use me anywhere, whether it was as it was with us at that time in camp ministry at Camp Berea up in New Hampshire where Phil and I met, I was using my nursing, I was using my Bible. We as a couple were enjoying serving together. And so I just left it all with the Lord and thought, well, maybe it's not a missionary nurse in Africa, but wherever you want to use me, I will be ready. During the year, he taught, I nursed, we started a family, we worked hard in our assembly, and the last day of school in June, we'd head off to camp, and what we realized later on, it was amazing training for, you guessed it, going to the mission field. By then, our focus was half a world away from Africa in the Philippines. This trip to Africa, years after my girlhood dreams of being a missionary nurse, was a little emotional at times. Phil would find me quiet in thought and occasionally in tears as I visited mission hospitals, wondering what might have been. By the time we got to Chitokoloki, he was downright worried. He thought he might be coming home alone. It was an amazing 5 weeks. We left in September. We were in four countries, South Africa in the south, north of that in Zambia, and then up to Kenya, all up the east coast there, and then to Ethiopia, to Kenya first, and then we finished in Ethiopia. 33 days and 52 missionaries. We started in Johannesburg, and that was our plan, to be there to mostly get over our jet lag of a very long trip. But Terry Barham said, no, you have to come and stay with me, and I'll show you what we are doing here. And so we said, good. Terry had been in Zambia for many years. She's the lady on the left. And her husband had passed away just a couple of years ago. And so she has settled in South Africa and has become very involved with the Emmaus work, the Emmaus correspondence work. And this is a couple that are Indian and have moved to Johannesburg and are running the Emmaus office and doing a fantastic job of it. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and that's very exciting to all of them. Terry is a real sweet lady, and she certainly has lots of energy for the job she's doing. Most of you will be familiar with Terry and Jane Gilpin. They are also, well, Jane commended from this assembly, and so it was a great delight to be in their home in Durban on the more towards the coast, Port Shepstone, over in South Africa also. And Terry was a single missionary doctor for many, many years until he finally came to see MML one day and discovered Jane. That there's more to that story, but I won't take the time. Jane was the holder down of the fort and knowledge of all things in the CMML office for many years, so she has always been greatly missed, but she's been a great addition to Terry and the work that he does in South Africa in the mission hospital first, and now they're a little bit retired, but they're certainly not retired. They're just refocused. We actually had a time to be in the home of one of the nurses that had worked with him for many years, and she told me the story from Terry's side. And they were so afraid. He had this news to tell them, and they were so afraid that they were going to lose Terry, that he was going to go home, or they were just going to lose him, and he wasn't going to be there. And so when he ever shared with them that he was getting married, well, they were shocked at that, but they were greatly delighted that not only were they not going to get losing their beloved Terry, the beloved doctor that he is, but that they were going to get to have his wife come along too. The one thing that was really a very special thing as we went from place to place in South Africa, we continually met people. Is that doctor? Is that the doctor from Murchison Hospital? And people would say, oh, he saved my father's life, or he led me to the Lord, or I never thought I'd see him again. I'm so glad to see him again. This nurse in particular is at a clinic of what was one of the very first mission stations in South Africa, where Adam Ferguson was, and it's now a government clinic, and she just was so very thrilled to see Terry again. For those of you who the name Alfred P. Gibbs is familiar, a preacher and songwriter, hymn writer here in North America, this is his nephew. There are quite a few Gibbs live in South Africa, and they're great friends of Terry and Jane, and that's our Jane. From there, we went down to Cape Town, and if you think of Africa being mud huts and such, Cape Town, South Africa, is certainly not that. It's a very first world country, and sometimes missionaries, there's a huge work going on there, but it's more like a full-time work here in North America than it would be in deepest, darkest Africa. It's a very, very beautiful city. Our first stop was with Sid and Karen Halsman. Some of you may be familiar with him. He may have been to your assembly to speak when he's in this area. And he's had numerous health concerns over the years. At this point, he's in a wheelchair, but that doesn't stand in his way of getting anything done. And they have plans in the next year to go with a man that owns a catamaran, and they're going to go from place to place in the catamaran in a wheelchair. I'm not sure how that's all happening, but they're very confident and have tried it out, and it works. And Sid will preach the gospel as this man has a retirement dream of going from place to place on this boat. And so that's just a little heads up of what you might want to listen to, what might come our way in the months to come, because it will be certainly a very interesting project. They were very good at showing us all the sites. Well, when we go to countries, we don't go to be tourists. We go to encourage the missionaries to spend time with them in their homes and in the work that they're doing. We often get to see some lovely sights and meet some wonderful people. This is David Crowdis. Most of you will remember David and Grace, and Grace passed away last year. And it happened to be, as we walked in that day, David said, you know, it's just a year ago today that I lost my Grace. And we thought, oh, wasn't that special that we planned a little outing for him? We didn't even realize that was the date. But we took him out for fish and chips and had a lovely time with him. He is sort of retired, lives in South Africa outside of Cape Town, is very active with one of the assemblies. He takes a walk by the beach, and I think he shares the gospel with somebody every day. He's down walking by the beach, and then he still goes. He still has his home in Zambia, and they still go. He goes back and forth to visit the work there. Like I said, we get to do some tourists. Actually, Phil put in the wrong picture. This was supposed to be the picture of me and the penguin together. I do have one of those pictures. They were quite tame. He was quite. It was very cute. Bonnie and Bruce Newsham, commanded from California. Bonnie was a Sims, for those who are familiar with the Logan family and Eleanor Sims. Bonnie is her daughter, and they have had a work, working with one particular church plant that they have worked with, and we had a lovely evening with them, and just really enjoyed our time. From there, we set off to Zambia, and what a joy it was to be in Zambia. I've heard stories all my life about the mission hospitals in Zambia and the different places there, and I didn't have any concept what that really looked like. So we flew into Lusaka, and the first person I met was Dorothy Woodside, who was actually from Chitokoloki, but she was at the guest house. And this picture is for you Fifth Avenue ladies and all the wonderful work you do on calendars. And sometimes as we're working on calendars, we say, is it really worth it? Do they really want these calendars? And guess what? They do, and they love them. And Dorothy was so delighted to get a whole new stash, and she told me what she would be doing with them. Now, I wasn't too sure I was going to be real big on this mission plane thing. I'm not real good with heights. Big planes, that's okay. But little planes, I wasn't sure. So John Loudon had flown from Killeney to pick us up. And you really don't have a lot of options in Zambia. If you want to go somewhere, you either get on a plane and go, or you drive for many, many, many hours on very bad roads. So those were the two options. So I got in the plane. As we're taking off, I thought, okay, maybe I can do this. Maybe it's okay. Phil was in his glory. Phil loves all things airplanes, all things aeronautical, and so he's a wannabe pilot from long ago. So he was in his glory. John took us on the three-hour flight. You notice the restrooms at the back of the plane? Mm-mm, no. So we were about an hour into the flight, and I had to go. And I thought, that was probably more nerves. Maybe I should just have a little rest. I'll have a nap, shut my eyes for a few minutes, and maybe I'll be okay. And I survived quite nicely. That was the longest of the flights. When we landed in Killeney, Bruce Poitevin was there to meet us. He's the other pilot. They have two planes there. And we were able to be toured around the Killeney Mission Station and the hospital. This has been there for many, many years. Was started before that even. In the late 1800s, there was beginning to be a work in this particular area. John Loudon's son, Nathan, and his son, Jonathan, and his wife, Chichi, they're working with a church there, but also he has a real desire to do what Chris Schroeder does with the TEPSI Ezekiel Project, and to maybe one day be able to do that in Zambia. So that's his desire at the moment, so that they can bring Chichi and come for the training. He's trying to get a visa for her. That hasn't happened yet, and so we're praying about that. But she's a lovely girl, too. She's a nurse. John doesn't just fly airplanes, although he will be retiring from that fairly soon. He's aging out of flying, and he would like to get just into the assemblies and doing Bible teaching. And I don't think they have plans to come home from Africa, although their youngest son is just graduating from Rift Valley Academy. Doesn't matter where you go in Africa, there's children. And as soon as we drove into the front of the little chapel building, they came flying from all kinds of places. Now, you all know that we were at Faith Academy in the Philippines for many years, and we'd always heard about Sakaji Mission School. This is the school that Tom Wilson went to, and many of our friends from long ago. It still exists, and it's a different ministry today in that it's mostly African children, business kids. But what a special treat and delight for us to be there. We were put at this little table, like if that was all the tables in the dining room, we had our own little table right there that we sat facing everybody. I guess that's what the tradition, what they do with visitors when they come. And rice cakes with Marmite. Who knows what Marmite is? Anybody from the UK or UK countries, or you will know what Marmite is. Awful stuff. Awful. But to people who love it, they love it. That is a tradition at Sakeji School. This is Margie Young. Some of you will have met her from when she comes on furlough. She has been in she grew up in Zambia. Her mother was a Loganoso, and she is teaching there, and just is really good to the kids. These happen to be five staff members at Sakeji who also are alumni of Sakeji. And the fellow on the left is from the UK. I don't have his. I do have his name down here, but it won't mean anything to you anyways. But and then Doug Hanna, Margie Young, David Poitevin, and Jeanette Young, handbook missionaries. If you're familiar for praying for them, you will know those names. David actually works out in the village, teaching and preaching and helping in little assemblies in the village. But he's also a great help at Sakeji, and he doesn't live too far away. He's got a handy-dandy bike that he rides from place to place, and periodically they're calling him to help with technology at Sakeji. He's really good at that. Lena Birkland, this is her last year teaching at Sakeji. She was leading the assembly that morning with the songs, and it was really great to meet her and spend some time with her. She's from Texas and will be returning there this summer. Jeanette Young is Margie's sister, and this is in her classroom. As I mentioned, they grew up in Africa, in Zambia, and so they're very much at home at Sakeji. From there, we flew. Bruce Poitevin just dropped in onto the airfield and picked us up, and we got on the plane one more time. And this time we went to La Loma, where Tim and Joy Beers are. They have been at CMML many times, so maybe you've had them in your assembly. Tim is from the UK, and Joy is from that extended Logan family. Her father was Paul Logan. Paul Logan, yes. Whenever the plane lands on the runway, and that is the runway, just in case you wondered. When the plane lands on the runway, people come running from everywhere to see who has arrived to visit. We always felt very important. They have a mission hospital there, and we were graciously toured through all of that. These are the doctors. This little lady, Marion Ronald, the one in the middle, she's from Winnipeg and has been in La Loma for well over 40 years. As a missionary nurse, and I think probably she could run the whole hospital hands down if she needed to. She is struggling with eye issues now and doesn't have very good sight, but coming home to Canada doesn't hold any interest to her at all. She would really like to just serve out her days there doing what she can now. We had a fun conversation. She said, "Oh, you're from Victoria, British Columbia. I had an aunt that went there." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "What was her name?" And she said, "Grace King." And I said, "Was Grace married to Elmer King?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, he was a relative of mine." So here we were in Zambia, the heart of Africa, and I meet a new friend and an almost relative. These little ladies are widows, and when you're in that particular culture, there's no value to the widows. And so Tim has built these little huts, and they all have their little place, and they cook their food, and they spend their time together. You and I wouldn't think it was very grand, but because it's theirs, they're very, very thankful. One of the elders in one of the smaller outlying assemblies had passed away, and so we got to do a real Zambian funeral. That in itself was interesting. Phil went off to the gravesite with Tim as he was to speak, and Phil also spent time that day in the classrooms. Melinda mentioned this, and I know in Ireland also there are still opportunities to be in schools sometimes and in Africa. And here in North America, we don't think about that because we wouldn't have opportunity to go into public schools and share the gospel and teach the Bible. But there are places in this world where that still exists, and we're thankful for that. And missionaries often will grab that opportunity and run with it, because it gives them not only the ability to share the gospel and to teach, but to really, as Melinda said, develop relationships with the people too. You might pray for the Beer family. As I mentioned, Tim is from the UK, and Joy, when she wasn't in Africa, was from Pennsylvania. And they need to make some decisions here as the kids are getting older. They've homeschooled through the years, but they need to make decisions, and whether it will be the UK or Pennsylvania or where the Lord might lead them, that's kind of a daunting task for them to think about. So you can pray for them in that regard. So when it was time to leave La Loma, the third pilot that works in Zambia, Chris Brundage, came and picked us up, and off we headed first to Deep Alada. We found out that missionary pilots have their own brand of humor. That was a sign in his plane, but also the pilots would say something like, "I think the runway's all down here somewhere. I don't really see it right now." But when we heard it from more than one pilot, we thought, yeah, they just got their own brand of humor. Deep Alada is where Jeff and Mary June Spicinger are. And they went along. They used to be in Chivuma for many years, but they have moved to Deep Alada because they were down to one Irish missionary nurse there from Northern Ireland. And so he sort of keeps the whole mission compound running while she can still do her medical work and her delivering babies is what she does. But one of the projects that has begun with a group from Canada, they go and they put wells in some of these village situations. And the Irish nurse that I was talking to said, "We started to realize that certain people from certain villages would come in so sick, and that we realized it was bad water that they had, and so they focused on those villages first. But there has been a number of these wells that have been produced, and of course, along with producing water for the village, gives opportunity to share about the living water. This particular well had been not functioning. The village people didn't know what to do about that because they had no idea how to fix it. But there was this fellow from Canada who was still there after a team had been there putting in a well. And so he decided that he would, when he heard that this well wasn't working, he knew what he could do to make it work. So we were there when all of a sudden the water came out of the well again, and everything was working, and there was great joy. And the mayor of the little village, she came and she told me they were just so thrilled that these people had cared enough about them to bring them good water. Janelle and Mark Highcooper, Janelle is Jeff Spicinger's daughter, and when she was married, they got some interesting wedding gifts, one of them being a well in Africa. And so people gave money towards this, and Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give you shall never thirst, but the water that I will give you will become in you a well of water springing up to eternal life." I told these ladies, they were all there getting water from the well, I said, "American ladies wouldn't do this. They work really hard. And at noon in the hot sun, they're out there pumping the water and carrying it on their heads and taking it back to their little places." I went, that seems like an awful lot of work to me. But if that's the only way you get water for your family, that's what you do. Benny McKinnon is the missionary nurse, and this is Jeff and Mary June. And this particular compound, Deep Alada, is right on the river, and it's quite beautiful. And the Northern Irish missionaries have been there for a long, long time. But Betty's the only one left now. She has this little warehouse out in the back, and I did actually take some things from our ladies' group that I ended up leaving there. Every baby that is born, about 500 babies a year, she gives them a pack of things because there's no baby showers, there's no Babies R Us or Carters or anything else there. And so when people have babies, Betty gets them a nice little pack of stuff with baby sweaters and all different things that come in from all over the world, but mostly from Northern Ireland, I think. I said to her, "Oh, you're so well organized." She says, "Well, I can't have chaos, can I?" The people from Northern Ireland came and built her a new little clinic a few years ago, and this is where the ladies have their babies. She has some regular midwives that deliver most of the babies now, but she's still very involved. From there, Chris flew us to Shavoma. I'm not sure if that name is familiar to you, but this is Beth Young, who was married to Bob, and he passed away. Zambia suffered great loss last year. They lost several of their missionaries, several women, Grace Crowdis and Ella Brooks, and then they lost Bob Young and Grace Crowdis. I said that already. Grace, yeah. And so they're all kind of reeling a little bit from that, reestablishing their roots in various places, and seeing what Beth was there to support Bob and the work he was doing. So she's finding little niches for herself. And she gave us a lovely tour around. We again toured the Shavoma Mission Hospital. The two Japanese nurses, you may have heard of the two girls that are there, Ayumi and Tamako. We had great times with them. They're a lot of fun, but oh, do they work hard. They work very, very hard in that hospital. This is the sign of the chapel that's at Shavoma. It's a lovely building. That is actually in the building. Phil spoke there on the Sunday that we were there. This was the place where Wallace Logan lived and had much of his ministry, if that name sounds familiar to you from long ago. So when we left Shavoma, we headed to Chitokoloki. And we were being driven. It's not too far, and there's a much better road now. So Joey and Caitlin Spicinger came and took us from one place to the next. They live at Chitokoloki. So on the way, they said, "We're just going to stop at one little touristy spot. There's a suspension bridge, and we think you'd really like that." As we get out of the car, I said to Phil, "I'm not going on any suspension bridge." So Caitlin straps her little baby on her back, and off she goes. And I think, well, if she can do it, I guess I can too. And so we watched. It really was very beautiful. The only thing that was a little scary was it's a gator-infested river. And so you hope that the suspension bridge is as good as they say it is. That's the river, the Zambezi River, the mighty Zambezi River. That's Joey and Caitlin. Baby on her back. You can't see Owen at that point, but I have a picture of him later on. So starting out in South Africa, Phil had seen me off in a corner at one of the old mission hospitals. He said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I always wondered what it would be like to be a missionary nurse in one of these places." And he said, "Oh dear." What is she thinking? So by the time we got to Chitokoloki, a very familiar name to many people, the hospital work has gone on for many, many years. And this is Dr. David McAdam. He also has been there for many years. And nothing phases this doctor. He'll go to any of the other, they'll fly him around to the other mission hospitals. He does surgeries. He delivers babies. He does different things on different days, and he teaches the Word of God, and he's there for staff devotions first thing in the morning. He is quite a man. He's from Northern Ireland. And Phil went along with him for devotions that morning. This little boy had fallen into the fire, but he was coming along quite well. But you can see there's a great deal of debilitation that child is going to live with from. But the hospital has been able to give him some quality of his life back. This is Jeff Spicinger, and this is a very interesting little story. Don't worry, Annie, I saw your sign, and I'm getting there. I'm almost done. This is Owen, and Caitlin and Joey didn't have any children, and there was a lady out in the village, actually I think she was quite a young teenager, who was delivering a baby in one of the villages, and she didn't survive the birth experience very well, so they put her in an ox cart with the baby, and were taking her to Chautauqua to see if they could help her. On the way, she died. So then the family didn't know what to do because none of them had the ability to take care of this child. So what they do in their culture, when they're in that kind of a situation, they dig a grave and they bury the mother and they bury the baby with the mother. But this family, even though they knew they couldn't care for the baby, they said, let's take the baby to Chautauqua anyhow. Maybe somebody will. Sometimes they adopt babies there. And I think that's not happened a lot, but I think it has happened in the past with Tanis Walker, had a couple of children she had adopted in that circumstance. And so off they came to Chautauqua. And the rest is history. This is Owen Spicinger. And he's a very happy little boy. We just saw him at a conference recently, and he's doing really well. Coming on furlough in the United States didn't face him. I thought from ox cart to, you know, to United States, he's come a long way. So here we are. I get back to the hospital, and Dr. McAdam had said, come by tomorrow. I'm doing some operating. You can scrub in. I said, it's been a very long time since I scrubbed in on any kind of surgery. And he said, well, come over. So I finished up. We had another engagement at lunchtime, and I finished up some laundry, and I walked over to the hospital. And so as I came in, he says, oh, I'm glad you're here. I'm doing an emergency C-section. I said, okay. He says, go get changed, and you can come in. And Phil's just standing there going, and I said, okay. So I went and I found some scrubs. I said, it's been a very long time since I've done anything. Oh, that's okay. He says, you can catch the baby. I said, okay. That's what they call when they do a C-section and they pull the baby out. Somebody has to be there to catch the baby. So I put my gloves on and I was getting the drape ready. And they said, hey, she knows what she's doing. I said, well, maybe some things you never forget. And so I stood there, and Phil stood outside the window. He was invited in, too, but he stood outside the window and took pictures. This is the little baby girl after I caught her and took her over to the isolette, and she got breathing nice and strong, and I got to be the one to put her little outfit on her, and then I got to walk through the hospital carrying this baby to her mother, and that's when Phil got worried because he could see I was having a really good time. The nurse just standing behind me is married to Chris Brundage, the pilot. They had just got married a few weeks before that. And she's very familiar and very happy in other parts of the hospital. Obstetrics wasn't her thing, so she was really glad I was there. I said, well, it's not my thing either, but yeah, okay. Together we worked it out and we figured out what to do. So our time in Chautauqua was a real happy experience, and these are the CMML missionaries, Joey and Caitlin, and Dorothy Woodside, and little Owen there, and then Chris Brundage is from Canada, and his new wife is from Northern Ireland, and Dr. McAdam. So that was a very happy experience. This is one, I'm watching my time here, there's one story I want to tell you that... when we were in La Loma, the men and ladies were on the revision team of the La Valley Bible. And apparently, Albert Horton, that might be a name from the past that some of you will remember, he had apparently done the Bible translation originally. And everybody in those parts say it is the best Bible translation that's been done. And I don't think that Albert Horton was a translator by profession or anything. He just happened to be really good at it. He did a grammar, and he did a dictionary, and he did the Bible. So now they're ready to revise it, and so the missionaries have all been meeting together to work on this team. And the Bible Society is the one that does the revisions, but because it was A Brethren missionary that had done the original translation, the job of doing the revision was offered to the Brethren missionaries, and they were really happy to have been given that opportunity. So Paul Poitevin has been up in Kenya several weeks at a time working with the Bible Society, and they've been they're almost done, and it has been a great, exciting project. The missionaries, every time they talked about it, they were so excited because there's some things that in the early days didn't translate well. They didn't have the right word. Not Albert Horton's fault. It just didn't exist in their language in those days. And so now when they've taken bits and pieces as they've been working on and showed them to the Christians in Zambia, they're so excited because the Christians say, now we understand. Now we know what that passage means. And so there was lots of great stories there. We finished up our time in Kenya at Rift Valley Academy with Michael and Janet Atkins. Again, a sister school to Faith Academy, although much older. Kids come from all over Africa to the school. In fact, probably all over that part of the world, many countries. A very exciting school. We enjoyed just spending time with the missionaries and went to a soccer game and just enjoyed the things that go on at MK schools. It's also where I got a little bit sick and spent a night in the Kajabi Hospital. That's another story for another time. But anyways, Dennis and Susan Dyvig have been working with believers who have come from Muslim countries and who are not safe, and they're being kept in places where they are safe, and he has gone in to teach them the Bible. And that, too, was an interesting story. This is the Varghese's from Dallas, Texas. They have just moved out of Kenya because, or out of Nairobi because their daughter has come home for her education, and they're moving out to the western part of Kenya to do Bible teaching and church planting in that particular area. Our last time in the country was at the Pan-African Brethren Conference for full-time workers in Africa, and there was 180 men there, families, men and women, who have leadership in much of the work all across Africa. So that was a great joy to meet them. Kelvin Simwada, the man on the right here, is our friend from long ago. We've met him in many places, and he's been at CMML, and we always enjoy our times together. The man on the left is Ethiopian, and he was in charge of the conference. And Ethiopia, different country altogether from the other countries we have been in. It was never owned by any other country, and so they've always had their own culture, their own way of doing things. They haven't had missionaries there for many years, but they now are very strong. The assembly work there is very strong right throughout the country, and they have a lot of great leaders, but it's very much an Ethiopian thing and not much influence from the outside world at all. We had a great time being with all of these folks. James Roberts from Chad, again, brought some of the elders and workers from Chad. Phil enjoyed a meeting with those gentlemen. Great work that he has done as well. Robert Revy was from the UK and was great friends with people we knew in Africa. There's always great connections when we go on these trips to meet and encourage our missionaries. As Phil said at the beginning of that first slide, 53 missionaries. We got to spend time in their homes, spend time in the work that they're doing, and there's lots of great things going on in Africa. Please remember to keep praying for Africa. Thank you for this opportunity today.
Thank you, Mary, for that vision of Africa and for a wonderful trip that we might not have ordinarily gotten to hear about personally. And thanking God that he gave you the opportunity to do some nursing over there that all those years you were wondering about. So now let's go to the throne and just have a word of prayer. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given to Mary and to Phil to travel to Africa and to encourage these missionaries that are in these countries where, you know, life is not easy and you have to get your water from a well. And shopping and markets and things. And so, Lord, I just thank you that they had that opportunity to go encourage and lift these folks up and encourage them to go on with their work for the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for keeping them safe, that Mary didn't want to go on the plane, and especially with the pilot, says he's nervous. But we thank you that you kept them safe through this entire journey and gave Mary that opportunity to experience being a nurse on the mission field in Africa. You know, sometimes our desires and things that we have, Lord, that you do answer them, but they might come a little bit later than we think. So we thank you for each gift that you give us to our prayers. And thank you also, Lord, for the missionaries there that are serving you. Lord, give them the strength and energy, the wisdom, discernment. And thank you for the love that they have for these people, that they have given their lives to sharing the gospel with those that would never have known it if they had not taken that first step. Again, I thank you for Mary's sharing today. 53 missionaries, ladies, look in your missionary handbook and you can share some of these prayers that Mary has asked us to pray for these men and women. So we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have had to hear Mary speak about her trip. And Lord, I just pray for Mary today that we know that she got sick over there in Africa, and she's just been, like she said, not quite herself. She didn't have quite the energy. So today, Lord, we just pray that you restore that energy and restore her to full health so that she can just be running around CMML and doing laps around that property. And Lord, again, we just thank you for this opportunity to come to your throne of grace and just lay all our cares and all our struggles and all our joys right at your feet, Lord Jesus. And it's in your precious and your mighty and wonderful name I ask all these things. Amen.
We're just going to sing the chorus again, our theme song, Learning to Lean. We are going to do it twice. Do we have time for twice? Twice. All right. Just a minute. Make sure everybody's ready. All right. Oh.
Learning to lean.
What'd you all think? You feel encouraged? I know I do. My husband and I visited Beth and her family for just a day and a half in Ireland 2 years ago, and it was fun watching, seeing the pictures. And there was something that looked like a castle, and we walked right in front of that, so it was fun to see. And now I want to go to Jamaica and Africa and see all these other places too. We hope you can stay here for lunch. We have an Irish tea themed, inspired lunch. So you can just go through that door right there. When you go through that door and down the few steps, there'll be a buffet table. You can go through that table and then find your seat at one of the tables there. And the men downstairs are available to help you if you need help with your stuff or getting to your seats. There are gluten-free options, and they are well marked. If you have any questions, you can ask someone. And then we ask if you don't need the gluten-free options, leave them for the people who do. I know they're enticing, gluten-free. I know it's wonderful, but if you need to. We'd like to announce the totals of the offerings. For the speakers and the commended workers, the total came to $3,334.05. And then for the project in Waterford, Ireland, it came to $2,975.05. Every penny counts. Let's see what else we have. Bathrooms are available upstairs and downstairs, so the two in the foyer, and then there's one that you can get from downstairs, or you could also go through this door, and it's on the right-hand side, just the one down here. We'd just like to thank our three speakers for sharing today. I've heard about their works in different times, and I feel like I know more now, so I hope you do too. And a special thanks to all the people who made the day possible. There have been a lot of hard work going into this, especially the team doing the lunch and the food and Lois downstairs, and also the men who will be helping. And then the next conference will be held, Lord willing, on October 20th at Rutherford Bible Chapel. And I think that's it. So when we close, we'll just make sure they're ready for us. So we'll find that out, and then we'll let you know. I don't know, Mary, would you be able to just check with them? All right, and let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for this day that we could learn a little bit more about learning to lean on you. I just pray for each one of the ladies here and all the different ministries you've given them and the different just life situations they're going through, that they would trust in you more and lean on you more, Lord. And particularly thank you for the three ladies who shared with us. We just thank you for their testimony and their openness to share with us. And we just pray for other ministries coming up, that you would bless them and help them. And we just thank you for this food. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. And we just pray for safety as the ladies return to their different homes after this conference, Lord. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.